This podcast is brought to you by Australia's LGBTQIA+ community media organisation, Joy. Keep Joy on air by becoming a member, a subscriber, or donate. Head to joy.org.au. Joy, a diverse sound for a diverse community.
You're listening to a Joycast from GLBTIQ community radio station, Joy 94.9.
Welcome to the Vixen Hour, listeners, and as that intro has just played you, this is Life from a Sex Worker's Perspective on Australia's first gay and lesbian radio station, Joy 94.9. My name is Christian, and I will be your regular host here every Monday at 11 p.m, and I'll be presenting a new co-host every week, and this week I'll introduce my co-hosts in a minute. This week we are joined. If at any point you do want to interact with the program, you can do so by texting in on 0427 Joy 949, sending us an email at onair@joy.org.au. You can also follow us on social media. So we do have a Facebook page that you can like, and you can find it by going to facebook.com/ Sex Worker Radio, that's all one word, facebook.com/sexworkerradio. You can also, if you're on Twitter, you can also follow us at The Vixen Hour. So it's at Vixen Hour, all one word. But before we get underway, we do have a very important message to play.
All discussions presented on Vixen Hour are made in the interests of community information and are not intended to induce any individual to seek employment in the sex industry. For more information in this area, we recommend individuals to get in contact with their local sex work organisation. The Vixen Hour. Everyone has an opinion about sex work. Make yours an informed one.
Joy 94.9.
Thanks, Fiona. So, joining me in the studio, I have two lovely guests, and they're going to introduce themselves.
Hi, I'm Rani, and I'm a sex worker.
And?
I'm Ava, also a sex worker.
And I'm Christian, and I'm a sex worker. Listeners, have you spotted the pattern here? The Vixen Hour is going to be presented by sex workers for the whole community, and so this is your opportunity to actually hear from us.
Welcome to a Joycast from Joy 94.9. Visit joy.org.au to find out more about our Joycast.
Now, you're listening to the Vixen Hour on Joy 94.9, and you're with Ava, Rani and Christian. And tonight, I thought we might cover a couple of the basics. So on tonight's show, we'll be asking, well, why would sex workers want to have a radio show? And later on in the program, we'll be asking another really, really basic question, and that is, what is sex work? But to start off, I thought we might focus on, well, why would sex workers want to have a radio show? There's lots and lots of reasons, and I guess as our little disclaimer played before the break is a lot of people have opinions about sex work, and quite often those opinions are informed by things like academic journals or newspaper articles,
TV
shows. Mm. A lot of TV shows focus on sex workers, and quite often
we're in dumpsters.
We're the victim of some serial killer. Quite often the portrayal of sex work isn't entirely accurate and isn't also, I guess...
Reflective of our lived experience.
Absolutely. Doesn't really reflect the reality of our situations. So as a community radio station that's seeking to empower, uplift marginalised communities, just like the GLBTIQ community, I thought, we thought sex workers really, really fit into that. And this is our way of having a conversation with the broader community. Because no doubt people have a lot of questions. And on that theme, I thought I'd do a little vox pop around the studio. So I walked around with a little recorder earlier in the week and spoke to a number of joysters about, you know, what they, you know, if... talking about this show, that it's sex workers on air talking to the broader community. If they had the opportunity to ask sex workers a question, what would that question be? And, you know, really taking the opportunity to ask that question. So I've prepared this little vox pop that we're going to listen to right now. Just before we do that, I do want to thank the generous volunteers who took the time to, you know, not only talk to me, but also I realise asking questions does sort of admit a level of vulnerability. Like,
it can be confronting.
Oh, absolutely. Because basically you're showing people what you don't know, you know, by asking a question. So I do want to acknowledge and say thank you to the people who contributed to this vox pop. So here we go. I'm having all sorts of technical difficulties at the moment.
Meetings.
Oh, wait, here we go.
Listening to people talking about low-hanging fruit and incentivisation. For a sex worker, what's the worst part of your job?
Any other questions?
What's the best bit?
As a sex worker, have you ever felt judged when you've met someone new?
Do you have a good sense of your identity as well as what your boundaries are?
How are you convincing in the face of someone you're really not attracted to?
Why do you have to have sex with unattractive people?
For you, is it more about the money or the sex?
Is it a passion or is it a necessity?
How do you separate sex for pay from sex in a relationship?
Is it hard for the partners of people that do sex work?
So, do you guys give out freebies?
What kind of job satisfaction do you get?
How do you motivate yourself to get in the mood when sometimes you might just not really be in the mood at all?
What made you decide to start doing sex work?
How do you get into sex work?
How did you get involved in that line of work?
How do you get into it?
Do you ever call out the wrong name?
Do sex workers have a fantastic sex life at home? Or does sex bore them at home?
For female sex workers, how often do you fake it?
For male sex workers, how often do you fake it?
How do the girls, like, overcome technical difficulties? Like, you know, getting their period and all that stuff.
Does the sex worker prefer a sex partner who is experienced or someone who's wanting to learn from the sex worker?
When you go home at night, do you feel any different? Like, do you feel bad about yourself because of what you're doing? Or is it just like, this is work, I do this every day sort of thing?
How do BDSM workers prevent bruises?
Okay, so is it fun?
Are all sex workers versatile, or are some tops only and some bottoms only?
So when you're with someone, how do you sort of know that you're safe?
Are you ever worried about your safety?
Lights on or lights off?
There's just such a perception that people start sex work because they're down on their luck, or they need money, or they're in some kind of trouble. Is that the case for everybody?
How do you go about deciding how much you're worth for each act?
How do you cope with a situation if someone on the street recognises you from your work?
Are there any lesbian specialty sex workers?
How does a sex worker handle you do it and you have sex and all that, and the sex worker just wants to get up and leave, but the client wants to stay around and cuddle for a while?
How do we deal with cuddling?
I love cuddles.
Oh, I love cuddles too. And I think that's that's something quite unexpected about sex workers, is that we do like cuddling as well. Like, that's not really an out of the ordinary thing for us. But yeah, so those were a lot of questions that some of the Joysters asked, and maybe you at home have some questions and you can text them in on 0427JOY949. But rather than answering the questions right now, I thought we might take a minute and step back and look at, I guess, the reasons why people ask some of those questions. So you guys had a chance to listen to those. What were your impressions from what you got from those questions?
Ronnie?
My impressions, I think they were some of the most typical questions that I get asked.
Yeah.
Except that they were delivered in a seemingly informed tone. Yeah.
Well, that's right. Well, you know, walking around the studio at Joy 94.9, we are talking about people who are sort of volunteering for a community radio station. Mm. So quite often these are people who are very used to being sensitive around, I guess, marginalised communities and being very respectful of their space. Mm. And that certainly did come through a number of those questions. What else did you get from them?
I got a lot of the questions. A lot of the questions were typical questions, but there were a few questions in there that were proving that they wanted to be educated. They were genuinely curious.
Yeah.
So the type of question that wasn't typical was interesting.
Yeah.
So that was good. Yeah. And it shows that people want to be educated.
Yeah.
It isn't that everyone is ignorant.
Yeah, absolutely.
And now we can give them that opportunity.
And that's right. And I mean, you know, we're quite often we're dealing with a lot of people who haven't had the opportunity to sit down with a sex worker and have that conversation. And those things are genuine curiosities. Because quite often, like we were saying before the break, people quite often talk about us without us. And exactly. if you do that, you're sort of... It's all kind of taking shots in the dark, really.
Mm. What I found interesting was I wondered whether those sort of questions would be asked of, say, teachers and plumbers and questions like faking it, you know. I suppose, it assumes that... other workers who aren't sex workers don't wear a mask or show off a certain facade at work when they carry out their paid work. And
it's interesting because there were those two questions, like, you know, for female. It started off with, for female workers, how often do you fake it?
And for male workers,
And the reason why that person asked that question, actually, when I was doing the Vox Pop, was because somebody prefaced that first question with, you know, for female workers. And then that other person went, well, hang on, do male workers fake it as well? And you're right. Like, you know, in any sort of profession, there's a level of performance, if that's what we call faking it, if you like. And that also sort of answers a couple of those questions around, you know, how do you perform in the face of someone you're not attracted to? Well, you know, if for people providing services in any job, you know, we don't have to like the client. Part of being a professional is sort of putting those feelings aside and saying,
getting on with the job.
Absolutely. This is my job. This is what I'm here to do. And for us, that just happens to be sex. And
I like sex.
Yeah. Thank God.
And actually, that takes me to the question about technicalities of female workers.
Yep.
Yeah. I actually feel sorry for my non-sex working sisters.
Yeah. Why is that?
Well, because they don't know about sponges.
Yeah, well, that's true. Like, there's a whole lot of practices and I guess skills and techniques that sex workers get to do in our day to day work that that may not be entirely obvious to everybody else.
But the other side of that too is those technicalities, as we say.
Mm-hmm.
Nobody says that we have to have sex.
That's true.
We don't actually have to work at that time. We can have that time off.
Yeah.
So, I mean, with that stereotype of we're doing it every day, 5,000, you know, 7, 8, 9, 10 times a day.
Yeah.
That's not true.
That's
true. Not for everyone, not for each individual.
That's true. And that's the thing. When we're answering questions about sex work, it's really important to acknowledge that, you know, we are reflecting our own personal experience of sex workers as sex workers who have the microphone. so anything that we do say is sort of our own experience. And I guess that's the reason why we speak directly to sex workers, because we want to say, you know, the genuine, authentic response of answering these questions is going to be different depending on which sex worker you ask. Now, were there one or two favourite questions that you I know I said, you know, we wouldn't be answering these questions, but were there any ones that leapt out at you that you wanted to answer for the listener?
I wanted to answer what the best part of sex work was.
Uh-huh. And what is the best part of sex work for you, Rani?
Definitely orgasms and money.
Well, there's no arguing with that, really.
Can I add to that?
Yeah, yeah, sure.
I like, obviously, the orgasms and money. Definitely. But the other part of that is I really get a great connection with my clients. I love the bond.
Yeah, wow.
And when you can have, I don't even know if I can say this, but when you can come from an experience and cry from, you know, have tears of enjoyment because you've just had an amazing time with this person.
Mm-hmm.
That bond, connection, that doesn't go. That stays with you.
Yeah.
And it's beautiful to meet so many different people on so many different walks of life and have that That's real. I like that.
That's amazing. We are straying into a conversation that we probably are going to have a little bit later about what sex work is for each of us. But I guess I wanted to talk about the opportunity to educate the broader community. You know, about, you know, 10, 20, 30 years ago, 40 years ago, when it was still illegal to be gay, without a doubt, there were activists at the time that were saying, you know, everybody knows a gay person. The stigma is just so high that they aren't able to tell you. And I feel like, you know, we're at that stage now.
Definitely.
That everybody knows a sex worker. You know, I kind of feel like that. I don't know. There aren't any studies. The census doesn't really capture this data. Yeah. But without a doubt, I think that most people would know a sex worker. It's just that the level of, if they think they don't know a sex worker, it's because the level of stigma is so high that they haven't been able to
tell us.
Yeah, for sure. And I think, you know, having things like a radio show to sort of break down those barriers is a way of, I guess, taking away a lot of that stigma and creating a safe space for us to sort of starting to have that conversation.
Mm. You know, Christian, I said before that I wondered why people would ask questions that they're not asking other professions.
Yeah.
But there is one where we're different. You know, the questions we get asked about, you know, what's our home sex life like as opposed to our work sex life?
Yeah.
Well, that's probably because mechanics and hairdressers don't like to take their work home, whereas we do.
Yeah. Oh,
sorry, that was just a little aside.
It is different for everybody.
Mm-hmm.
You are listening to the Vixen Hour on Joy 94.9. If at any point you do want to interact with the program, you can do so by texting in on 0427 joy 949 or sending us an email at onair@joy.org.au.
We'd love to hear some questions.
Oh, I would love to hear some questions.
To find out more about Joy 94.9, check out joy.org.au.
A voice for sex workers. The Vixen Hour on Joy 94.9.
You are listening to the Vixen Hour on Joy 94.9, and I'm joined here with Rani and with Ava.
Hello.
So I think we might spend some time now actually talking about starting to answer the question, well, what is sex work?
Rani.
Okay. Well, I think the reason why it's important to ask actual sex workers what sex work is, as we said before, sex work is very different for each individual. Mm. So I think the Vixen Hour, given that we have a new guest host every week, it's a really good opportunity to be able to, I guess, see what a whole range of sex workers think. So
a range of a variety.
Yeah, absolutely. So for me, sex work is really an opportunity to engage with an individual about their sex and their sexuality and, you know, provide that opportunity for expression. And I mean, there's a whole lot of ways that people can express a part of their identity, whether it be, you know, sports and recreation, whether it be, you know, knitting or reading or whatever. And a lot of the times people have to engage with a service to be able to express that part of themselves. And for me, I think sex and sexuality is just a part of everybody's identity, and that needs some expression too. So whether it's somebody with a disability or somebody who's incredibly lonely, someone who
is a virgin and has no clue how to start and doesn't want to disappoint a potential future partner.
Yeah, absolutely. Mm. Any of those reasons. Like, so part of recognizing a whole human being is recognizing that sexual self. And what sex workers do is provide one option for that sexual expression to take place. So for me, that's what sex work is. I'm wondering, Rani, if you could share what you think sex work is.
Well, my job is very much about making people feel better.
Uh-huh.
So that can include love, support, intimacy, fun, and yes, even sex. So that my service is geared towards the client need.
Uh huh.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I agree, and I'm along the same lines. I like to please. Uh-huh. And that gives me an immense amount of satisfaction, the fact that I could teach somebody something or make someone feel a way that they haven't felt before, or just bring something to them, even if they want to try something different but fear they can't.
Yeah.
So I can bring that to them without judgment or any fear of backlash in any form.
Well, that's right, because quite often there's a lot of anxiety tied up in sex. Like, you know, am I going to perform? Is the other person going to feel okay?
Well, that's why it's important for me to provide a non-judgmental space where they are free to safely experiment and explore their desires and learn about themselves.
Yeah, that's right, because, like, you know, without it, how are people supposed, you know, without being able to express yourself sexually? And I think a lot of people take for granted that, you know, that they can go out and they can pick up, or they can, you know, they can go to a sex on premises venue and that works for them. I think a lot of people, though, don't have those options for whatever reasons. And I think it's really important for sex workers to provide sort of that service to the community where we're able to, give people that opportunity to, and I like how you've put that there, like safely explore and learn about themselves, because this is about, you know, the client learning about themselves.
Mm-hmm. And that's true. You know, I have clients who, you know, might have seen something on a porno or heard about something and tried it and then thought, oh, this isn't for me.
Yeah.
So there's not many spaces where people can do that.
Yeah. Yeah, absolutely. Now, we've done sex work. We were having a conversation before, and I've done sex work now for 15 years. And Rani, how long have you done sex work for?
Oh, we're looking at around 25 years.
Wow. And Ava?
I've been off and on for about 16 years.
Wow.
Yeah.
So you're relatively speaking, like there's some study done a while back saying that, you know, the average time in the sex industry is like 2 years, and we've certainly challenged that. We're somewhat veterans. I'm wondering for both Rani and Ava, has your definition or understanding of what sex work is changed over that time?
Mine definitely has.
Yeah?
Mm. Yeah.
Yeah, how so?
Well, when I was first doing sex work, it was more opportunistic. It wasn't for me a job. Uh-huh. It was just something I did when the opportunity arose.
Right.
And it was just straight sex or oral.
Yeah. Yeah, wow.
Yeah. Whereas now I'll have conversation, I'll cuddle, I'll do other things.
Yeah.
You know, but
yeah, that opportunistic stuff's interesting, because, like, when I started doing sex work, I started doing it as a street-based sex worker, and quite often that's how you worked, was very opportunistically. If the opportunity came up, you just you took it. But I think, and when we were having that conversation off air before, it got me thinking, wow, sex work doesn't just, it's not just the intimate space and setting. Sex work is also things like soliciting, advertising, you know, establishing your service, building reputation, building websites, answering phone calls, all of those things. Mm. I'm wondering what you guys think about those aspects of sex work.
About building websites?
Yeah.
Yeah. They take a long time.
Don't they?
They do. It was not one of my favourites to begin with.
Uh-huh.
But it's, yeah.
You've learned.
I have. And it was like a child who couldn't walk. I was scared and I was afraid I was going to put the wrong information in, and yeah, after a lot of my, a lot of my sex worker sisters helped me out, I did very well.
Yeah. Well, that's the thing, you know, about sex work and skills and the things that we learn through sex work as sex workers. Quite often we do that through other sex workers, and, you know, we do that. A lot of people would sort of term that in a formal setting as peer education, whereas for us, sex workers are a community, you know. birds of a feather flocking together. We find each other. Well, we do. Yes, we absolutely. Find each other on Facebook. You know, absolutely. We form our own little groups. You know, and absolutely. We do. We do that not only to sort of keep each other safe and to connect with one another, but also to share skills.
When I first started, I was often on in a parlour.
Uh-huh.
The escorting side for me is new.
Yeah.
9 months, roughly, about, uh-huh. give or take. And my opinion or my views on sex working has changed even from when I moved from the parlour to into the escorting.
Yeah.
I found more of a sisterhood, more of a bond, more information, more help, more communication.
Yeah.
Not saying that they don't have that in parlours, and I'm pretty sure they do. This was a long time ago when still, you know, yeah. the stigma was very, very
yeah.
tough and harsh.
Well, that's the thing. Sex work is such a diverse range of settings and jobs.
Wars.
Yeah. Absolutely. Mm. That, you know, as you move from one to the other, you learn a lot of different things. And sex work is very different in each one of those settings.
Mm.
You can find more Joycasts and show blogs. Go to joy.org.au.
You're listening to The Vixen Hour on Joy 94.9.
You are listening to The Vixen Hour on Joy 94.9. At any time, if you want to interact with the program, you can do so by texting in on 0427 Joy 949.
And please do.
And please do. We don't want to feel alone.
Don't be scared. we scary. Won't when I'm bite. Fine. Wait, hang on.
Unless you...
That's extra. Oh, you guys are naughty.
I love you, Christian.
Anyway, moving right along. Now that, you know, sex workers have had an opportunity to describe what sex work is like for them and how we see our own jobs, I thought we might take a moment to read what other people think what our job is, and namely the Victorian government. So... Just a bit of a snapshot. So in Australia, sex work is generally is a legal sex work is a legal occupation across most states. So there are sort of three legal frameworks that sex work happens in. So in the first framework, if you want to completely ban and abolish sex work, that's a legal framework called prohibition. So we just make all the activities around sex work completely illegal, and that's the situation that sex workers find themselves in South Australia, where the law hasn't changed in a very long time since colonialization. Well, it's an old law. Yeah. The other end of the legal spectrum is when sex work is treated like a job, like any other job. So occupational health and safety standards, equal opportunity law, industrial relations, fair work, all of that stuff that applies to every other job applies to sex work. And that's the situation in New South Wales at the moment, and that's what we call decriminalisation. Every other state in Australia, though, has what we call legalisation, and that's different to decriminalisation, because decriminalisation says you don't need a law, a special law regulating sex work. You have, like, all these other laws that regulate every other occupation, and we just apply those to sex work. In every other state, though, that's not the case. What they have is a special law that regulates sex work. And what that means is, you know, we have a different standard of occupational health and safety, a different standard of equal opportunity or fair work that everybody else is experiencing. Now, there are some of us who would identify that as discrimination, but that is the situation we are in, and particularly in Victoria. So if we're working in a situation where the government is saying some forms of sex work are legal and some forms are illegal, it becomes necessary for the government to define what is sex work. So the government broadly defines sex work as the provision of sexual services in exchange for goods or money. But what I find most interesting is what their definition of what sexual services are. And we printed them out. And Rani's going to read what the...
Don't fall asleep.
Yeah.
And it's not for Rani's voice, it's for the length and the apparent technicality of, my God.
Anyway, without drawing it out too much further, Rani, what does the Victorian government think that sex
sexual
workers...
Sexual services include... A, taking part with another person in an act of sexual penetration, and B, masturbating another person, and C, permitting one or more other persons to view any of the following occurring in their presence. One, two or more persons taking part in an act of sexual penetration. Two, a person introducing to any extent an object or a part of their body into their own vagina or anus. Three, a person masturbating himself or herself, or two or more persons masturbating themselves or each other, or one or more of them, in circumstances in which, four, there is any form of direct physical contact between any person viewing the occurrence and any person taking part in the occurrence. Or, here we go, last one, five, hang in there.
Wake up.
Any person viewing the occurrence is permitted to or encouraged to masturbate himself or herself while viewing, and for the purposes of this definition, a person may be regarded as being masturbated whether or not the genital part of his or her body is clothed or the masturbation results in orgasm.
Oh my God.
Would you like a glass of water now?
You know, as you were reading that, I just kept thinking, this is the most unsexy definition.
Could you imagine doing an intro like that?
Please read this disclaimer. And if you don't sleep beforehand, then time's up.
It's interesting, isn't it? Like, you know, they've tried to cover a lot of what we do. Now, this seems like it's worlds apart from, you know, the discussion we just had before that little break around, you know, we talked about, you know, expression and opportunity and recognizing holistic
learning and caring, and
none of that is covered in this definition at all.
And it's clinical and cut and dry.
But, you know, as I was reading this, I was having images of all the sex parties I've been to and wondering if they're brothels now.
Yeah. Well, that's the thing. Well, that's the thing. I think, listeners, as we... We'll post this definition on our Facebook page so that you guys get to read the exact details of this and go over it again without falling asleep. But what strikes me as interesting is that, you know, quite often they're describing stuff that isn't necessarily – or what isn't necessarily considered sex work. So part of the definition was, you know, permitting one person to view you introducing an object into your vagina or anus. Now, there's a number of strippers I know that that do that sort of work, and so technically they're
sex workers.
Yeah, well, they're providing what the law would consider as an escort service, which is interesting because again, it's completely missed the mark in terms of covering the actual stuff that we do.
Doesn't actually include a lot of the stuff that sexual surrogates do.
Yeah, you're right.
Yeah. The sexual surrogate mainly focuses on helping the client gain confidence in creating an intimate.
Yeah, in that sort of therapeutic setting.
Yes, that's right.
Yeah. And yeah, so it's weird that, you know, quite often, and I guess this is what happens when a government tries to legislate sexuality is, you know, in an attempt to cover everything, they actually miss the point completely. So quite often this is what you find with laws, that they are very much detached from the reality of our work.
They've put the whole sex industry into one basket, and we're not all the same shape. We don't all do the same thing.
Yeah, that's right.
You know, there's no category for groups. labels, if you will.
Yeah, that's right. And, you know, like, this doesn't even begin to cover things like BDSM or... there's a giggle there, Ava. or a lot of the other services that that self-identifying sex workers provide. So there's nothing about porn or things like phone sex work that that we probably will get to discuss in on the Vixen Hour in the next few weeks. But for now, we're just going to have to leave it at what the Victorian government has chucked us at us. Oh, so. Sex work and diversity. Now, we started to talk about, you know...
you know where it says frameworks? I thought it said fireworks.
Oh, that was exciting.
We're going to have fireworks. Yay!
No, legal frameworks. Well, and we're not discussing fireworks. That's a whole other episode. I don't know what you've been doing in your session.
Creating some, fireworks.
Some sparks. Well,
explosions.
Well, speaking of explosions, there's a lot of other jobs that, you know, I mean, we've done a whole range of sex work. So, like I said, I've done street-based sex work. I've worked for an escort agency. I do private work. I've done work with people with disabilities. I've done work with people who are HIV positive, you know, and I just do... and I've done touring work all throughout Australia. And a lot of those jobs aren't defined in legislation. I'm wondering, you know, what are the different types of sex work you guys have taken part in?
Ronnie?
I was talking about sexual surrogacy before.
Yeah, yeah.
That's working in conjunction with a therapist.
Uh-huh.
So we discuss the clients and the therapist basically tells me where the client's at and what he needs and what me to be doing.
Yeah, wow.
The whole time I was doing sexual surrogacy, I never had sex.
Yeah, wow.
Yeah.
That's interesting.
Yeah.
Yeah. And I guess that sort of reflects, you know, I guess the diversity of how people sort of perceive sexuality for themselves. Mm. How about you, Ava? What are the different types of sex work you've taken part in?
Well, as you know, I've said I've done parlour work and private escort work, which is my main forte, I guess, now, if you will. sex work in itself, BDSM, play, which is not necessarily based around sex, but still comes under that category.
Yeah, yeah.
It really is not just all about sex.
Yeah,
It comes in many forms, and if you can allow, I don't want to say that. I will say it, though, because I will. If you can allow your mind to be educated and accept different varieties, we're not all the same shape and same colour. We don't all offer the same service.
Yeah.
So there's a lot of different services, but they're mine.
Yeah. Yeah, absolutely.
No two sex workers in the same parlour might not offer the same service.
Well, that's right, yeah.
Absolutely.
Yeah. It's such an individual thing. Mm-hmm. And, look, you've got three sex workers in the microphone here tonight and they've been able to tell you what sex work has been like for them. So, but we do want to say that, you know... The three of us can't possibly represent, you know, the diversity of sex work that's out there.
I represent myself.
Absolutely, same. And I think, you know, starting this conversation around defining what is sex work, I think the conclusion that we can come to is, well, it's different for everybody, and each sex worker is going to tell you something different. So, which is why we're having the Vixen Hour. Come full circle back to our beginning topic about why we're having the Vixen Hour, and it's to listen to the diversity of experiences that sex workers have gone through, and that's why we're going to have a new sex worker helping me co-host this program every week.
You can find more Joycasts and show blogs, go to joy.org.au.
You're with the Vixen Hour on Joy 94.9. We have had a couple of messages. I want to thank Mason from Preston for their support.
And hi, Mason.
Hi, Mason. And another message of support from Texter 560. So
Texter.
Thanks for your messages, guys. That has been the Vixen Hour.
Already.
I know. Wow. I want to thank Rani and Ava for joining me for the very first episode of the Vixen Hour.
Thank you for having me.
On next week's show, we've got another super, super show. We have, I'll be joined by sex worker blogger extraordinaire, writer Ava Sless. She writes her own blog and she's written for websites like Mamma Mia and
Eva Rocks.
Yeah. And we'll also have an interview by Australian best-selling author Kate Holden. So tune in. It's a show all about words. Words, looking at the language and meaning and the ways we talk about sex work. But for now, this is the Vixen Hour signing off. We'll catch you next week.
This Joycast is a free service brought to you by Joy 94.9. Support Joy 94.9 by becoming a member at joy.org.au.
Thanks for listening to another Joy podcast brought to you by Australia's LGBTQIA+ community media organisation, Joy. Help us keep Joy on air. Head to joy.org.au. Joy, a diverse sound for a diverse community.